This is The Radical Therapist, a space where we explore the intersections of collaborative therapy, philosophy, art, and science and technology in a post-Freud, post-psychology world.
Welcome to The Radical Therapist. We are now at episode 70, and this is your host, Chris Hoff. Thanks for tuning in. Today we're going to do kind of a short one, and it's going to be me. And I recently did a YouTube thing. If you haven't subscribed to the YouTube channel, please do. The Radical Therapist. Just go to YouTube and search The Radical Therapist. And there's several videos up there now that you might find interesting. And I've been getting feedback from people and via email that's been positive. Comment section, not so much, but. But yeah, so go check that out and subscribe to the YouTube channel if you haven't done that yet, because there's going to be some stuff coming too, and I have some students that are creating some content for that the channel, which will be really interesting, I think. That'll be exciting, and so go check out the YouTube channel. But recently, I talked about why therapists can't admit they're wrong. And this was born out of, this was kind of a brief conversation that was born out of a presentation I did at the American Family Therapy Academy conference back in June, which will be linked in the show notes here. If you're interested in seeing the full presentation I did on taking the lead, repair in the therapeutic relationship, I think you find it interesting. I actually show actual video of work with a client where I kind of blew it, and then the attempt at repair in the following session. So, and then some ideas I have about rupture and repair and failure, and and making amends. And so you might want to check that out. It'll be a link will be in the show notes here, but you're getting a little clip of some of the ideas. And also, the next guest you're going to have on the podcast is Molly Andrews from the UK, who does work around narrative and apology and the politics of forgiveness and stuff. And she's really fascinating, doing fascinating work. And she's going to be up next. So this will give you a little kind of intro into some of her ideas, which we'll be exploring more further in the next podcast when the actual Dr. Molly Andrews will be on. So excited about that. So today's episode is titled, what is the title? Why we can't admit we make mistakes or something like that. And it's just some ideas I have about mental health professionals and their approaches in rupture and repair and the therapeutic relationship. And if you are interested in learning more, please go to the link that is in the show notes. And I think you'll find that interesting. But two things to do: go subscribe to the YouTube channel. And if you could, please go rate and review the show on whatever host you're listening to this podcast on, probably iTunes. I imagine it'd be great if you could rate and review the show. We would really appreciate that. So, okay. So without further ado, here's me talking about basically why we can't admit we're wrong. What gets in the way of mental health professionals admitting they are wrong? What's at risk if we were to practice humility and understand we're not going to get it right all the time? Hello, everybody. Chris Hoff here. Today, we're going to talk about why we can't admit we're wrong. A couple of months ago, I gave a presentation at the American Family Therapy Academy conference on rupture and repair in the therapeutic relationship. And part of this presentation was acknowledging how hard it is for folks, in this case, professionals, to own they have made mistakes. If there's anything that might provide some healing in today's climate, I believe it is the ability to own our mistakes, practice relational accountability when we're wrong, and properly make amends when these mistakes happen. Easier said than done, I know. Before taking a look at what gets in the way of admitting we are wrong, let's look at the idea of creating cultures where failure can be embraced. I love this quote by Jack Halberstam, who wrote the great book, The Queer Art of Failure, and this is the quote. Under certain circumstances, failing, losing, forgetting, unmaking, undoing, unbecoming, not knowing may in fact offer more creative, more cooperative, more surprising ways of being in the world. Forever we have lived under the ethic of performance and perfection. This stance could be attributed to late-stage capitalism, among other things, but regardless its source, its effects have been damaging. Whereas embracing failure opens up all sorts of avenues for more creative living, work, and innovation.
Now, I know failure will always be less risky for me as a white, heterosexual, cisgender male, but I do believe it my responsibility to do my part to create and support spaces to fail more often and more creatively. Now, back to some reasons that we can't admit we're wrong. Sarah Schulman, who wrote the outstanding and challenging book, Conflict is Not Abuse, says we live in a time where the ideology of do what feels right is considered the individual's best guide to ethical action, and that pretending what is comfortable or easiest is inherently what is right is tragic self-deception. Yep, I think we can all agree there is now an individual ethic born out of neoliberalism that often gets masked as independence or freedom that is not at all relational and sets people up in all kinds of ways. Fortunately, there is now some pushback on these sorts of positions. Another block is the fact that research has shown that people who refuse to admit wrongdoing felt greater self-esteem and more in control than those who did apologize. It may seem counterintuitive, but I believe not admitting wrongdoing maintains a power differential that most folks are unwilling to relinquish. If the act of owning up shifts power to the person who is wronged, denying any wrongdoing keeps the power differential in place. In Jack Halberstam's book, The Queer Art of Failure, he says, in order to inhibit the bleak territory of failure, we sometimes have to write and acknowledge dark histories, histories within which the subject collaborates rather than always opposes oppressive regimes and dominant ideology. Often to admit mistakes requires us to acknowledge how we have colluded with all sorts of things that may be hard to stomach, like patriarchal practices, homophobia, or racism. Not easy things to swallow or admit to. Another reason it's so hard to make mistakes is the threat of cancel culture or shunning online. Garnet Aching, writing for the Women's Media Center, says when someone on social media or social justice spaces makes a mistake, they are often not only denounced for that action, but deemed completely unworthy as a person, which leads to a person being canceled and any apologies they offer dismissed. Finally, another idea I've become quite interested in lately is the idea of the living guilty conscience. Molly Andrews, who does research around the politics of forgiveness, interviewed 40 men and women who had been involved through the years in underground oppositional activities against the Stasi secret police in East Germany before the fall of the wall. She wrote how she became aware of the complexity of the situation when speaking with longtime anti-state activist and a leader in the East German women's movement. This woman shared how these former secret police, now members of her own community, can't forgive us what they did to us. We are their living guilty conscience. We're still alive. We experienced it all. We are also still witnesses. Andrews writes about this phenomenon, stating that alleged wrongdoers are often wary of being told someone forgives them, immediately sense that they are being subjected to some moral assessment. This sort of experience leaves me thinking how professionals may view their clients when they make a mistake. Do their clients become a guilty living conscience? Do professionals experience themselves as being subjected to some kind of moral judgment in the mistake, which requires them to sweep aside the mistake or wrongdoing because to admit it would be just too much? Does this create what Andrews calls the paradox of the offended offender, in which an offender who does not contest the reality of their offenses nevertheless feels offended in the enumeration of grievances? Much to think about here. So what's a way through? Molly Andrews writes about windows of opportunity, windows that aren't open all the time, so we need to be mindful when mistakes have been made, take the lead and own them, and make amends properly. Andrews says, I forgive as I ask for forgiveness. So those are some of the primary reasons why it's so hard to admit we are wrong. Next, I plan to do a video on apology versus amends, and if folks can get that far. But until then, thanks for watching. Please share widely, hit the subscribe and like button. And I'm also gonna have links at the end here where you can access my presentation that I did at AFTA if you're so interested. Thanks for watching.
Okay, thanks for listening. Hopefully you found that informative or helpful in some way. As always, I hope they're helpful. And if you want to know more or you want to see the full presentation, please go to the show notes, follow the link in the show notes, and it'll link you to the presentation I did at the AFTA conference this year. And yeah, that's great. And then, of course, Molly Andrews, I kind of touched on some of her ideas. She's going to be up next on the podcast, so be sure to stay tuned for that. That should be coming soon. And yeah, and please go subscribe to the YouTube channel, rate and review the show on iTunes. Send me an email if you got some info for me or have any questions or want to tell me something at theradicaltherapist@gmail.com. And we're on all the social medias, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Come find us there. And so, yeah, as always, my name is Chris Hoff. This has been the Radical Therapist Podcast. Thanks for listening.